From the shadows of the radio towers,
this is the Gay PHX Podcast.
Your weekly dose of real talk,
queer joy,
and community connection.
It's gonna be a good day, and everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
Hey there, Phoenix. I'm Billy Foster, and this is the Gay PHX Podcast, your rainbow-tinted guide to the people, places, and stories that make queer Arizona shine. Let's start with some incredible news. Congratulations to Renee Hebert, our new Mr. International Leather 2025, representing our sister desert city of Palm Springs. Renee, you did your community proud, and we're excited to meet you soon. And while we're talking leather, I want to send a huge thank you to the Arizona Men of Leather for making it possible for us to live stream IML in Chicago. This weekend was full of connection, emotion, and celebration. And thanks to AML, we were able to bring a small piece of that back to Phoenix. We're still learning the tech, so thank you for sticking with us as we figure out how to bring even more of those experiences to you. Now, there's something a little bit more serious. Copper Cactus Ranch needs our help. This space has been a refuge, a playground, and a sanctuary for our community, and right now, it's in trouble. CCR needs to raise $100,000 to keep its gates open. And if this space has ever meant something to you, or if you've ever wanted to visit, now is the time. Head over to SaveCCR.com to donate and share the campaign, or visit Copper Cactus Ranch to book a stay and see for yourself why this place is worth saving. We cannot afford to lose CCR. We also want to thank Oliver Electric for helping us give back to the community. Thanks to their support, we're giving away tickets to Pride Night with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Visit GayPHX.com for all the details on how to win. All right, let's pass the mic over to Brian and find out what's happening around the valley.
You're listening to the Gay PHX Podcast,
where community comes first.
Coming to you from the shadows of the radio towers, it's your Gay PHX Weekend Picks. I'm Brian, your weekend whisperer, and every week I bring you Brian's Hot 3, the LGBTQ plus events lighting up the Phoenix scene. These are the bold, the beautiful, and the absolutely unmissable events happening around town. Let's get into it. For Wednesday, May 28th, we have Liar Liar Storytelling, 7 p.m. coming from the Royal Kitchen and Cocktails. Get ready for an evening of laughter, intrigue, and a little deception. Hosted by the brilliant Christopher Hooper and Carly Davis, Liar Liar is Phoenix's new monthly storytelling showdown. 7 storytellers hit the mic, but only 6 are telling the truth. One is lying through their fabulous teeth, and you can decide who it is. Guess right, and you could win a prize. You want free tickets? You can email info at royalkitchenphoenix.com. That's royalkitchenphx.com with your name and Liar Liar tickets in the subject line. Otherwise, you can pay tickets $15 in advance or $20 at the door. Okay, May 31st, boots, chaps, and cowboy hats. 8:30 p.m. to close at Paddle's Bunkhouse. Grab your gear and get ready to yeehaw with the Bears of the West for a down-home night of denim, drag, and dazzling fun. This annual fundraiser helps sponsor sashes for the upcoming IGRA royalty competition. Hosted by the always legendary Melon, you'll enjoy the beer bust, Melon's Chinese raffle, jello shots, prize drawing including the Chinese New Year dragon, and a zodiac set. Featuring performances by the IGRA royalty from the past, present, and future. So saddle up. Sunday 1st is the Sound of Science Desert Overture Concert, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Tempe Center for the Arts, where music meets molecules. Desert Overture's Wind Symphony, with 80-plus queer and allied musicians, brings you a sonic exploration of the sciences from astronomy to microbiology. Pair it with a visit to the Tempe Center for the Arts Gallery's astrology exhibit, and you've got yourself a smart, artsy Sunday. The lab coat is optional. Whether you're guessing lies, soaking in suds, or geeking out with a Wind Symphony, Gay PHX has your weekend covered. This has been Brian's Hot 3, your essential guide to queer joy in the desert. Catch you next week, same time, same vibe, same rainbow-tinted mic. Until then, support local, show up queer, keep shining. Want to see what else is hot around the valley? Head to GayPHX.com for events, photos, and your full rainbow calendar. Coming to you from the shadows of the radio towers, I'm Brian, and that's what's hot.
Want all the details? head over to GayPHX.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the Valley.
More stories, more voices, more pride.
You're tuned in to the Gay PHX Podcast.
4 days, one epic weekend in Palm Springs. Beginning June 18th, it's Tidal Wave 17, Camp Morningwood. The sun is high, the pools are wild, the parties never stop. Drag queen bingo, mixers, nightly dances, including a Pitch the Perfect Tent underwear dance. Surprises at every turn. Bare naked yoga. An exclusive poolside viewing of Maxi Luau. Drag Super Shiro. Camp Morningwood. Tickets are moving fast. Get yours now at TidalWaveParty.com. Don't wait, that's TidalWaveParty.com. TidalWaveParty.com.
Another voice, another vibe, another reason we love this community.
All right, Phoenix, he's suited up, tail's wagging, and ears are perked. Copper's got his hood on. That means this pup's out to play. Let's see what kind of mystical mischief that we can get into. Welcome to the rainbow-tinted microphone, Copper.
Oh, thank you, Billy. Hiya, it's an honor to be on with you, and hello to all the pups and critters out there listening. My name's Copper. I'm a hound dog.
Excellent. Wiggle check, how are you feeling in your hood right now?
Oh, I'm feeling great. I always feel pretty good when I'm wearing my hood.
And what's your go-to move when you get head scratches?
Oh, my head scratches. You know, I tell everybody I take head scratches, belly rubs, and nose boops, and it always makes my tail wag.
And if we dropped a tennis ball, a squeaky toy, and a treat, which one are you going for first?
Oh, a ball. I love balls. I collect balls. I have all my precious objects or sticks and balls. Oh, yeah, I love a ball. I mean, a squeaky toy will really get me going, but definitely a ball would be my choice if I had to pick.
What if you had a ball with a squeaky toy in it?
Oh, my God. That would make me go pretty wild, I think.
And what's your favorite way to cause just a little chaos at an event?
Oh, you know, I don't cause too much chaos, but, you know, when Copper sits out in the rain and then in the sunshine, he sometimes gets a little grimy, and I got an alter ego, and his name's Oxide, and he's happy to get up to some mischief when he's out at a party.
And if you walk into a bar and you see another cute pup, what's your first move? A sniff, a nuzzle, or a woof?
Oh, you know, I like to show the other pups my balls. I got some real heavy balls I carry around with me, and they're all shiny, and it's my favorite way to introduce myself to other pups.
Oh, excellent. And be honest, do you bark in your sleep?
Oh, you know, well, I'm asleep when I'm barking, but yeah, I probably bark when I'm sleeping.
Oh, and do you prefer zoomies in the morning or late night snuggles?
Oh my goodness, snuggles beats everything.
Yeah. And what song makes you drop to all fours and dance like no one's watching?
Oh, you know, Florence and the Machine, Howl, that gets me going. My favorite thing is howling with my friends, and then she sings, howl.
And give us your best bark.
Arrow!
But make it flirty. And finally, who's a good boy?
Oh, I'm a good boy. But, you know, I think all pups is good boys. You know, sometimes I see pups and they're a little rough or they're misbehaving. But, you know, honestly, if you see a pup misbehaving, that's just because they're not getting enough love or comfort. And that's why we're in community. We help each other out.
Oh, that's excellent. Copper, that's all the questions that I have for you. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much. It was an honor.
You've seen his ears up and his tails wagging all over Arizona Puppy Weekend, but today he's right here. Please welcome to the rainbow tinted microphone your new alpha beta title holder, Drew, the man behind the mask who is Pup Copper.
Hello. Hi, Billy. Thanks for having me on as well.
Of course. Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. All righty. Let's start with the basics. First, how did you discover pup play and what made you want to be part of the community?
You know, my first step into pup play was actually in 2019. I got a hood. It was a plain black hood, and I was calling myself Pup Anubis. At the time in my life, I was so I didn't start to understand that I'm probably on the autism spectrum until a few years ago. And this was before that. And I was masking really heavily, and I was using pup play as a way to erase my identity. And I enjoyed it, but I didn't really deeply connect with it until I was at Folsom Street Fair in 2023. And I was seeing how joyful everything was and how much I loved the community. And at the time, I was wearing these copper chains that I had made for a music festival one time. And it struck me all at once. I am Pup Copper. And I knew exactly what Pop Copper looked like. So, and I knew that I could never buy what I wanted. So I actually did, I used my gay audacity to sit down and learn leather work. And I spent 9 months wow. making my own hood. And then I came out under
you you gave birth to Copper.
I did, yes. Copper calls me the master alchemist. I am Pup Copper's creator. Yeah, and
excellent.
And then Pup Copper was born at a music festival, a folk festival under a solar eclipse, and it's all been a whirlwind since.
All right. So what inspired you to run for the title?
So I really care about the structures that exist inside of the leather community. It's one of the things that was drawn that draws me particularly to the leather component of kink. I really like the way that the leather values tie power to care. I really like the way that the structures inside of the leather community build accountability for people. And title holder competitions are a way for people to put themselves on the line and be vulnerable and say, I'd like to step into a position that I see as a position of responsibility. I use the word stewardship, which means taking care of a thing that doesn't belong to you. And I am passionate about education and care, centering care within kink. And I just had an itch to be able to share that message more widely. So I put myself on the line and ran for AZ Puppy. And I didn't win. Pup Midnight is...
No, but you did win Alpha Beta title.
I did. I got a title. I was recognized by the community as Alpha Beta, which for me means first helper, which as a service pup is a perfect place for me.
Oh, excellent. That's what we wanted to understand, is what that represented.
Yeah, I see that as first helper. When I was thinking about it, it was a lot to process, the competition. It was really demanding on me, and I'm autistic and sensitive, and I have a limited social battery, so I had to process a lot afterward. And at one point, I was like, did I even win? And then I looked at the sash that I received, and it's a beautiful sash that was commissioned by an artisan who created it with care, and it's meant to be able to signal to other people in the community that I did receive a title, and that matters.
And now that you've got it, what role do you hope to play as a service pup?
You know, I stay really process-oriented, and I work well with other people who are more visionary, who look way out into the future, but I try to take things one step at a time, and it's the way that I was able to take the time and energy to make my leather work. But also that's the way I'm approaching this. I know what I'm passionate about. I think deeply about different frameworks that I'd like to be able to educate in. But I also know, as a mystical pup who's built some wisdom, I call myself a wizard. I understand that people don't, you can't teach people a thing unless you have their buy-in. So what I try to do is just demonstrate what it is to be a curious pup. But I'm also really optimistic for the opportunities that I can get as more people like you reach out to me and I start talking about stuff. I'm excited to see what the prospects are.
Excellent. And you're talking about educating others. What's one common misconception about pup play that you wish more people understood?
You know, I try not to do too much mind reading. I've realized that I'm no good at it. But one of the things I'd like to tell people about pup play is that it's play. It's play like kids play. It's games for grownups. And I think all kink is play. It's play with our senses and our emotions and our identity. Pup play is play with identity, but a really special kind of identity play. I call it avatarization. And in avatarization, you get to be able to, from the outside, craft a character that looks just like you want. You get to endow it with all of the principles and characteristics that you want, kind of like you would with a D&D character. But then instead of just being able to inhabit an imaginary space with that character, you can step inside that character and inhabit the real world in that way. And with the help of a mask, you can, it's a canvas to be able to express your identity, and play with your identity changes the way that you feel about yourself. And it also changes the way that people respond to you. And from the inside looking out as Pup Copper, I love the way that it lights other people up and gives them permission to play with me and give me belly rubs and head scratches and nose boops. They give me puppy love, and I have permission to give them puppy love. It's a really playful, fun. It's really playful and fun.
So it almost sounds like a degree of LARPing, but in a way that isn't just mystical or fantasy necessary, if that makes sense. Even though Copper is a mystical fantasy pup.
I call myself a wild, mystical Western Arizona leather pup. But I'm just particularly mystical. But yes, LARPing is avatarization. Drag is avatarization. Furry play is avatarization. But one of the things that's nice for me is that the fact that Pup Play's history comes out of a leather background. My pup is a leather pup, and I get to express myself in both of those worlds, in the leather space and in the social creativity, self-expression space as well.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any advice for someone who might be curious or unsure where to start?
Yeah. At Bark After Dark, that we had this last weekend, we have loner pup hoods, and that's the great thing to do. Is if you're curious about it, just try it once. It's so safe, and the hood signals to everybody else, oh yeah, this is a friend. So I'd say just try it.
Excellent. And what's your favorite piece of gear?
Well, it's got to be my hood. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But besides my hood, actually, one of the things that I've made that I really like is my leash. I play a lot of different ways with my leash, and my copper ball fits right in the handle of it, so I can swing it around with the. So that one's really fun for me.
Oh, is that the one you had on stage?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that was amazing. Yes.
It's just physics that holds it in there. So my nerdy side, I like that, and the mystical side. And people are afraid that it's going to fall out, which I think is fun because it does the same kind of thing that kink play does. It gets people excited.
Right. It's the worked up or the anticipation, right?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things we do a lot in kink play is we play with things and find out what is scary versus what is dangerous. And it's fun to do scary things in ways that are not dangerous.
Like a scary movie.
Yes, exactly.
Interesting. Okay. Favorite treat.
Favorite treat. Well, I just got a dog bone last night from my friends. You know, the treats come from other people, and I just love it when they're giving me a treat. So I'm not too picky.
And what's your favorite way to play?
I like to get whipped. But not degraded. I am a good boy. I like to be praised when I'm getting whipped. I like the marks that it leaves. I like to show off.
Excellent. What's your dream event to attend or host as a title holder?
You know, hosting events as a title holder, that's got to be for me. I'm thinking about education style events. I'd love to be able to speak to, I'd love to be able to empower people who do know about kink to be able to talk about kink in ways to the muggles, in ways that are really accessible. And I'd like to talk to the muggles in a way that makes them realize, oh no, we're all magic folk. If you own a nervous system, you're going to enjoy kink. You just don't know it yet.
Right. I agree that people who say, oh, I'm not into kinky things, they just haven't taken the time to look and learn.
They just don't know.
Right. They don't know.
One of the things that I do when I'm going into a kink space is I say to myself, I want to feel something that I've never felt before. I've encoded into Pup Copper that he's a curious pup. And one of the things that says to me is, I have this process that I use to explore kink is I assume that when I see people engaging in their kink, that they are getting some pleasure out of it. And then I do my best to kind of be curious about, to understand, where are they getting their pleasure from? Is it from play with an emotion or a sensory thing or something about their identity? What is it that gives them pleasure? And then it lets me be able to explore myself in more deeper ways.
That's excellent. I like that. All righty. And if people want to follow you or learn out more, how can they?
I got the same handle on all the channels. I'm at AZPupCopper. Instagram's probably where I tell my story best, but I'm also on TikTok and Blue Sky. And on YouTube, I just posted a new video. I had the opportunity to talk with the Dragon Clan about my framework of kink as play with our senses, our emotions, and our identity. It's a framework I use to understand and explore and communicate about kink. And if you're into the thinky stuff, you can head over to my YouTube channel and check that out too.
Copper, thank you very much. Drew, thank you very much. I appreciate you both attending.
It was a real pleasure for both of us. Thank you so much, Billy.
New episodes, local voices, big queer energy. Subscribe now to the Gay PHX podcast.
I'm Daddy Dave, your friend in the fight to end stigma. And I'm the founder of Team Friendly, here today to talk about DoxyPep. Are you hooking up? Living your best life. Keep it hot and healthy with DoxyPep, a little pill that helps protect you against STIs after sex. DoxyPep. Doxy is short for doxycycline, and PEP is an abbreviation of post-exposure prophylaxis, meaning taking a pill after sex. You've probably heard of PrEP, which is pre-exposure prophylaxis. That's taking meds before being exposed to HIV. But DoxyPep goes like this. Take one doxycycline dose soon after sex, for sure within 72 hours. This helps prevent bacterial infections such as syphilis, chlamydia, and gonorrhea. If doxycycline sounds familiar to you, yes, it also treats STDs. Ask your provider if DoxyPep is right for you. And if your provider doesn't know about DoxyPep, inform them. Or find a provider that meets your full sexual health needs. Live your best life with DoxyPep.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the Gay PHX podcast.
What happens when storytelling gets twisted, truth gets tangled, and the audience is left guessing what's real and what's total BS? Today's guest created a live show where stories are bold and the lies are brazen. And the fun is in the guessing. Welcome to the Rainbow Tinted Microphone, Christopher Hooper. Welcome to the podcast.
I love that. That's how I want to enter every room.
It's how I start my mornings.
No, I'm going to start doing that, yeah.
To someone who's never been, how would you describe Liar Liar?
Well, you know, that's a great question because a lot of people, especially in our community, don't even know what a storytelling show is. They think it's like stand-up, and it's not. It's real live people from our community, and they're telling stories, real true stories about their lives. And so that's generally how most storytelling shows go. But this one is a little bit different, and I wanted to do something a little bit different with it. So we twisted it, and it's basically two truths and a lie. So it's six storytellers that tell the true stories of their lives, lighthearted, fun, funny stories of their lives, and then one storyteller that tells a complete fabrication. And so what happens, it's kind of game show. You come in, I introduce everybody. We have a little fun time in the beginning. They get up, and I introduce all the storytellers. They go through all their stories, and you in the audience have to figure out which one is the liar. And it's hard. And if you win, you win a prize, like an air fryer or something.
So there's six storytellers, and how many?
Seven storytellers. Okay. Six are true. Yeah. Six are true. One is a complete lie.
And then the audience, does everyone in the audience, like, how does it work? Do they all ballot? Do they tabulate? How do they vote?
Yeah, we have like a little piece of paper on the table for everybody. Mm-hmm. So you write your name down and you can make notes on it if you want, because everybody, like, they think they're a good lie detector person. Everybody does. And so they're always picking out throughout the stories, the seven storytellers, as they come up telling their real stories, they're always trying to figure out like what part of their story is, sounds like a lie. And some of them are really good. I mean, they hone in on some like minute details like that. The other day, somebody was like, I picked the liar because Hot Cheetos weren't out in 1986 or whatever. And the story was based in 1986. And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. So it's something that we as the creators of the show have to work on with the liars because we coach them. We coach their stories. So we really have to, I was like, oh, good. But not very many people so far have guessed the liar. So you write the name of the liar that you think is. And then at the end, Carly, my partner in this show, goes around and she collects them, kind of Vanna Whites it and collects them. All the storytellers and me play this improv game. It's a storytelling game where we tell a fake story and everybody gets a turn. It's very funny. And then at the end, we fishbowl it. And the first one that picks the true liar that gets picked out of the fishbowl wins.
Oh, I see. Okay. And what inspired this whole concept?
Well, I mean, I've been doing storytelling now for a few years, and I've been doing improv for about, I think it's like 13 or 14 years. And I teach it and I coach it. And so we have a big show that we do in the Valley called Dirty Bits, which is a dirty storytelling show. And same concept where real people get up and tell, in this case, dirty stories of their lives. And it's a bit of a longer show. The stories are probably 8 to 10 minutes, where Liar Liar is about 5 to 6. And we just wanted to do something a little bit different. Mark Howard at the Royale was sitting with us, and we were all brainstorming, and Two Truths and a Lie came out, and we were like, yeah, that's perfect. And I love collaboration. So, you know, anytime we do shows, even like Dirty Bits was me and Carly Davis's baby, that we just went to lunch and thought about a concept. And she said she'd been thinking about dirty storyteller shows forever. So we just said yes, and being the improv person that I am, I always say yes. And so I was like, let's do
yes
it.
And.
Yes and. And I just love it because there are a lot of storytelling shows out there, and they're pretty mild, and they're pretty the same concept, basically. The format is usually the same. You know, it's kind of like The Moth or Barflies or storyline that we have in the community. And so they get up and they tell two stories of their lives, same thing. And they're pretty, you know, a lot of them have poignancy and important issues and stuff that they talk about and vulnerability. But this one, we just wanted it to be fun. And so we added that kind of game show element to Liar Liar. And it's quick, it's fast, it's fun, it's funny. And it was just a new concept. We thought, yeah, that will work. Let's do it.
And how do you go about finding or selecting storytellers to for each show?
That's a good question too. You know, Phoenix, God love us, but we're usually like always in our own little circles of influence, our little bubbles, and there's a storytelling bubble. And so there's a storytelling community in the Valley, and you know, there's like storytelling and live music and any of that stuff. It's always like, I didn't know it was here. Well, it is here. And storytelling is too. And so we have a bubble of storytelling community. Me and Carly are both in that bubble, and I'm also in the improv bubble, and it kind of crosses over to stand up. So kind of comedy and that entertainment field and that world is all together, and we pull from that. So I do a lot of social media where I'll ask people to be, you know, come be storytellers. We get a lot of stand-up people, which we have to kind of retrain into storytelling because it's not a stand-up show. It's a storytelling show.
They don't have a whole set.
Yeah. Yeah, we get writers, we get improv people, we get storytellers from the community, and sometimes we get people that have never done it before in their lives. And me and Carly both coach our storytellers. So they don't go in blind. So we'll start a Zoom. We start with a conversation with them. If they're interested, they send us an email on Arizona Story Lab, which is our company. And they send us an email and say, I'm thinking about this. We start a Zoom with them to see where they're at, how seasoned they are, if they're performers at all or not. And then we kind of coach them. The first hour is a conversation about what they think their story is. Oftentimes it's not. It's something else. And sometimes it is. They're right on target. And then we kind of coach them where they are. So, and we love people who've never done it. We love people who are seasoned and have done it a lot. But we definitely coach not only the storytelling, the craft of it, but we coach it for the show. So in like Liar Life specifically is 5 to 6 minutes, light, fast, fun. And so the stories have to be that.
And is there a theme each time, or do storytellers kind of get full creative freedom or with that coaching?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there's a theme, and we kept that kind of concept because most storytelling shows do have themes. And they're usually very general themes. Like our last one was Foolish Ways for, you know, April Fool's Month. Mm. And you kind of just take something in your life that fits that category. And it could be anything. So we had stories from all over, you know, all over their lives for different reasons. Foolish ways in relationships, foolish ways in things they did when they were young, you know. Right. So it could be anything. So every month is a different theme. So we have... Foolish Ways was last month. This next one is Mommy Dearest.
Oh,
for Mother's Day.
For Mother's Day, yeah. May.
Yeah, so that could be very interesting and funny, of course.
I'm already thinking of the stories. how often does the audience actually guess it right?
Well, that venue specifically has about 40 to 50 seats. That's the max in that venue, and it's in the Flamingo Room at the Royale Kitchen and Cocktails. So it's in that really cute kind of loungy, bluesy kind of area that they have. And out of 40, you know, about 40 people that usually come to the show, the last ones, it's been 3 people.
Wow.
4 people. Yeah. Yeah. It's been really great. I think this last one was maybe 5 people that figured out who the liar was, which is really interesting.
Because of the Cheetos.
Because of Cheetos. One person was like, that's why I did it. The hot Cheetos. Don't give it away every time.
What's one of the wildest or funniest stories that someone's told that stumped the audience?
You know, it's really interesting because this last one, I would say he got on a Zoom with us, and we worked with him before. He does stand up in the Valley, and he did our Dirty Bits show. And so we were like, yes, Ernesto, come on. And he came into the Zoom, and a lot of times we'll have group Zooms so everybody can join in. So, you know, I have 4 or 5 storytellers in the Zoom telling us their stories. And we didn't have a liar picked yet. And so he began to tell us this story in high school of him and his boyfriend. And it wasn't really his boyfriend. It was more of his crush, his first gay crush. And he went through this whole thing where he stole the van and blah, blah, blah. And this, yes. And he consoled his crush when he started crying and this whole thing. So we got through this whole process where he had like 5 storytellers on the Zoom. He told his story, and we always go around the Zoom and like tell everybody, you know, what you loved about the story, ask questions if you had them, because usually the audience has questions too, so we can kind of fill in the gaps. And everybody was like, oh, they were moved, and they laughed, and so did we. And I let everybody know, you know, that we still need a liar. And then Ernesto was like, oh, I was lying. I had no idea. I was like, OMG. I was like, Ernesto, like you had me sad and happy, and really that's it. I would say that is the part of storytelling that whether you're telling a lie story, I guess, or true, really good stories for storytelling, they have to have all those elements in there to make a really great story. And those elements are the underlying thread that we all can relate to, which is like sadness and joy and pain and jealousy and happiness, you know, all those things. And he had it all. But he's worked with us before and he's pretty seasoned. So I was really surprised by that one. He was also the Hot Cheetos guy.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Because... and I didn't catch it either. You know, I'm 55 and I'm like, Hot Cheetos. Like, I can't, like,
they
I don't know.
Like they've been around forever.
Yeah, I feel like they've been around, yeah, forever. So I think, you know, just the last one specifically was kind of interesting because he came with a lie, ready to go, without telling us. So it even surprised us.
That's great. Now, do you ever perform or are you just the host?
I do. So we most of the time we MC. Carly occasionally does some storytelling. You know, we'll fill in. Maybe if we go down to like six, I might tell a story. We're always there as coaches, and we're always there with the ability to tell a story. And I've done storytelling for a while. I started out actually through Valleywise Health, and I was doing HIV positive storytelling and storytelling about real life moments in my life and the stigma and the shame. And, you know, we're doing that to combat the stigma and shame of HIV still. And so I started there. And so those stories are pretty heavy. So I started in a really heavy space. And then at that time too, I'd been doing improv for like 12, 13 years. So I mean, I was comfortable with the stage, but not storytelling is a little bit different because it's a lot more vulnerability. And it's true. I started there performing a lot through that. And then we did Dirty Bits and we did stories at Dirty Bits. And we did a show at The Rock for a minute called Love is Love, where it was really based on just LGBTQ+ relationships. So everybody would talk about their relationships, whether the beginning or the end or the middle. And I told stories there too. So I still do. And occasionally I'll tell stories at events. My first storytelling event right out of the box, fresh, even though I'd been doing improv and in front of the stage, was Tempe Center for the Arts. And that was through an Arizona Republic show that they do. And I started, and that's a big show for your first time ever doing storytelling. And I made myself absolutely crazy. But, you know, now that I'm more seasoned in storytelling and I coach it and I teach it, I know not to, you know, do that. Don't rehearse. Just know your life and go from that place.
That leads right into my next thing about storytelling being such a powerful tool. What do you think makes people, or what do you do to help people open up on stage?
Yeah, that's. I think a lot of it for us specifically for our shows is that coaching session that we have originally. And we might do a follow-up one or two or three with people. It depends on what they need. And I think there's something about storytelling when they come to us. And we teach this in our workshop. We have a workshop at the Royale too that we do, that teaches storytelling through a lot of improv stuff, and it's really fun. But vulnerability, how they open up, I don't know, maybe it's the universe that gave me a gift, but people just do it. When we start asking questions, they feel safe, and I think that's really what it's about. When you create, and all the shows and all the storytellers we have, you could ask any of them. We really create a really a safe place. I know that word is used a lot today, but we do create a space where people feel like they can share what they want, and we let them share what they want. We don't push them into anything. We don't coach them into, you know, being bigger or this or that. You know, we coach them on the professionalism of being on stage, but the vulnerability part, that's, they have to say yes to that. And they do. And I think it's that beginning hour of just talking about their lives and getting to know them and being, you know, becoming friends. And we share, when we do that too, we share our own vulnerabilities of life and stuff. And so it's just creating a safe space that makes them feel comfortable and knowing that it's okay and that we're there for them. That's what it is.
And safe spaces are very important. So that's why it's being used a lot, because we need it now more than ever.
We really, really do. And, you know, I think when you come and see the shows too, not only do the storytellers feel that way, but our audience does. They come in and they just have a, you know, storytelling is an energy share between the audience and the storyteller in a very different way. You know, there's the angel cocktail happening with dopamine and oxytocin and all of those things that are going on between the storyteller and the audience. And the audience always feel they're always there for us. They're there for us, and they're there to listen, and they're there to relate. And I think that's the difference with storytelling, like, as opposed, you know, I mean, I know stand-up does that too, but storytelling's a little bit more vulnerable, and people just relate to those underlying threads of our human condition. And so the entire space becomes a safe space. And we create our shows. We have a very diverse group of storytellers. They're from different cultures, backgrounds, races, you name it, LGBTQ plus. We always have that, which was really important to me when doing all of this, to include all those people. And we just do that. We don't try. It just kind of now it happens. They just say, I want to do it. And so, you know, the whole space, the whole show becomes a safe space, and you can feel it. Like, it's the energy you can feel in the room.
That's awesome. I'm excited because we plan to attend the next one. So
I love it.
Are there any plans to expand Liar Liar beyond the Royal Kitchen? Maybe like a podcast?
Yeah, we've been thinking about it. We actually had an idea about doing a podcast for Dirty Bits, because that's a much larger show. That's, you know, we get like 100, 150 people in that audience. And just talking about, you know, R-rated stories. We call it R plus. They're not just filth. There's very poignant stories of your life, you know, that is about sex and love and all of those things that you go through in life that we don't normally talk about to people. And I think just the idea when you walk into that room, that this is what we're going to, this is the subject matter. People just let down their guard like crazy. And our audiences are amazing like that too. We have old, very old people, young people, you know, mixed. The whole audience is very crazy. We always have the pups there, at the Dirty Bit shows. They're like loyal followers, which I love. But we have everybody. And so we thought about doing a podcast for that. And so that's kind of on our plans. We put Dirty Bits on hiatus for a minute, but I think we're going to bring it back up, not next month, but the following month we'll start doing that again. We usually did it about every 8 to 10 weeks. And so the podcast would be that. Liar, Liar. I think all of the shows that I've done, they're all kind of under the umbrella of Arizona Story Lab. So, but the most potential for a podcast would probably be Dirty Bits. Liar Liar is a little bit smaller. And so, I don't know. You never know where it's going to go. and you never know what my, you know, I don't even know what my next iteration of storytelling will be. But I'm always willing to collaborate. I love to collaborate with others. And I love to come up with new ideas, and I love producing and creating shows. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Excellent.
We should talk. If you could have anyone take the mic for Liar Liar, locally or nationally, who would it be?
Oh, wow. If I could have any storyteller take the mic?
Anyone.
Who would nationally right now? Oh, boy, That's a really big question. Let me think about this for a second. Anybody? I would probably have a few people, but I think, you know, I kind of have, especially right now in our political climate, it would be really wonderful to break away from the usual politics we have in life and hear some politicians get real. And connect in a real way and not a political way. So I think it would be somebody like that in politics that would maybe talk about some stories of their lives. I mean, I would love for politicians to just tell us a little bit more about who they are as human beings. Anybody specific to? I mean, I have some favorites. You know, I have like Oprah. Like, sure.
And would you want her to tell, you know, be the liar, or would you want her to be a truth teller?
Ooh, that's a really great question. Wow. I mean, I think she speaks a lot. So, I mean, and she's been pretty truthful and vulnerable throughout her career and her life. So maybe be a liar. Sure. Yeah. That would be kind of fun. And then, you know, and then I have my favorites. You know, I have a gay favorite. I've got the classics, Bette Midler, Cher, you know.
The divas.
The divas. And, you know, pick any diva. Yes, yes, yes. Any of those. That would be fantastic. Amy Schumer. I love her. She's a kind of a storytelling comic anyway. And I love her filthy ways.
Oh, and I need to get, I have her book. I haven't heard it yet. I've got the audio book. I haven't played it yet. So I got
you. Oh, and you know, I'm glad now that kind of moved it into it. So if I really had to think about this, I would love for Tina Fey or Amy Poehler either, because I think they're amazing. They're
brilliant. They're both brilliant.
They're brilliant. And so I can listen to them all day. And by the way, they have incredible books.
And together,
is yeah, amazing. Yeah, yeah. I think they were doing a tour or something too. So, yeah, I have a huge space in my heart for them, and I just love them as comedians, as brilliant women. So I just, yeah. Does that? I know that's a lot, but
great actresses. Yes, I agree. Yeah. I'm 100% on
great
board.
Great writers, you know, Tina Fey being the first head writer at SNL when it was good.
Right. So how can people get involved, whether they want to share a story or just come enjoy the ride?
Absolutely. So every fourth Wednesday of the month, we have it at the Royale Kitchen and Cocktails, and it's at 7 p.m., it's always smart to get there. If you're planning to get drinks and food, get there at like 6:30 and get your order in and get it going. So at 7, you got your drinks, you got your food, you're ready for the show. Go to the Royale Kitchen and Cocktails website, and you can get your tickets there. They're $15 on the Royale Kitchen and Cocktails website. They're 20 at the door, so get them ahead, which we love that anyway, because again, it's limited seating. We only have about 45 seats.
And where can folks follow you or get the scoop on the upcoming events, or, you know, learn about each one?
Oh, yeah. So we do have a website, Arizona Story Lab. So if you're interested in telling, you can send us an email from arizonastorylab.com or arizonastorylab at gmail.com. And if you want to tell a story, great. We also have a workshop that's every second Tuesday of the month at the Royale, which is where the Royale Kitchen Cocktails is. And that is at 6 until about 9:30. So it's a 3.5-hour workshop. And it's fantastic for beginners. So if you're thinking about, like, this is something that you really want to do, but I've never done it, you know, come and take the workshop. It's $20. It's, you know, for 3.5 hours. It's a fantastic workshop. And it really plants the base of what you need for storytelling. And we work through several stories with you, too. So you'll have that story by the end of the workshop to tell. You just have to have the yes and to get up there and actually do it. And if you do, again, send us an email. Say, I want to do it. We'll set up that Zoom. We'll talk to you, see where you're at, let you make those choices after that, and go from there. And if you've never done it and you want to do it, just do it. Just say yes.
Excellent. Christopher, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to hang out with us and educate the audience.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I love Phoenix, and I love the Phoenix gays, all my people. And I love Melrose because I live right here. And I'm just happy to bring what my art is and my craft is into the gay community. Just to add to it, I think we should be celebrating, especially at these times, all kinds of art and all kinds of togetherness and all kinds of sharing. So you're welcome and thank you.
Pride isn't just a weekend. It's a way of life on the Gay PHX podcast.
Looking for a reason to smile this summer? Grit pool parties are back.
Freaking awesome!
And Tempe Sundays just got a whole lot hotter. Clothing optional. BYOB. And yes, the legends are true. Whether you're here to flirt, float, or find your tribe, it's all happening at Grit. Spots are limited. Visit gritaz.com to grab yours.
Uplifting the community.
One business at a time.
It's the Business Spotlight.
You've heard of physical therapy, but what if healing went way beyond the body? Today's guest works with movement, energy, and emotion to help people feel better, whatever better means for them. Welcome to the Rainbow Tinted Microphone, Amos Campbell. Howdy.
Hi, thank you. Thank you.
So, you know, normally when I hear the letters IRS, I freak out. But in your case, it stands for Injury Recovery Specialist. And you also call yourself a full spectrum healer. What do those titles represent? What does that mean?
Well, basically, in a nutshell, I'm your friendly neighborhood painkiller. Whatever is bothering you, within reason, we can work on tendonitis, plantar fasciitis, frozen shoulder, sciatica. If you work and you have any type of repetitive motion, at some point you're going to have pain. And if you ever get injured, you have to recover from it. And that's where I come in.
And when someone comes to you for the first time, what is it you usually start with?
First, we start with the assessment. We see what has happened, how long you've been dealing with your injury, and which of the modalities is going to speed you up the fastest. Most often it's a circulation issue or it's an inflammation issue. So how are we going to flush the space out while also bringing in the healing that it needs? Stretch therapy is the next best thing that I do. So range of motion, because everything is connected to your joints. It's just a 1, 2, 3 step. Injury, assessment, modality, and hopefully 2 to 3 sessions, we can turn things around.
And when you say that your work is easy, can you explain that a little bit more?
Well, most often we start with Swedish massage. So you're going to be able to really relax. This is going to flush out your areas before we dig out any trigger points or any scar tissue. That's in my case, because most of my stuff is physical therapy based. 51% of my clients have some type of scar tissue related injury. They've got a new hip. They've got titanium pins, rods, screws, plates, and something that's been repaired. So there's a significant amount of scar tissue, and that always affects your overall movement. So it's easy in the fact that it's direct. You have restricted range of motion, little massage. We can increase everything by 51% usually that day. And then the next time, another 25%. The body heals significantly fast because it's what all the cells are designed to do, is heal. And most often it comes down to a circulation issue.
And what are some of the tools and rituals that you use and habits that you recommend to people?
First off, I recommend yoga to everyone. Everyone, especially over 30. And if you have repetitive motion, yoga once a week is going to change your life. When it comes to massage, if it's a regular injury, we're going to see you maybe once, maybe twice in that month. And then after that, we're trying to get you to a maintenance of once a month, or you come in as needed. But it's just directly hands-on. I have a couple tools. I was trained in Thai Toksen, which allows you to use a percussion or a hammer to really get out deep trigger points, like in your quadricep muscle and that big hamstring muscle. And I also have a percussion tool, the Hypervol, which I use on all of my reflexology clients.
And what's reflexology for those that don't know?
reflexology is the foot therapy. We use an exercise pressure with our hand or some type of hyper percussive. It's like a very big Dremel for your feet. Plantar fasciitis tends to be extremely common, and neuropathy, especially for anyone who knows diabetes and has a diabetic in their family. Neuropathy is extremely common, and if you've ever had sciatica, spine, back injuries, it can cause neuropathy secondary. And reflexology is hyper focus on the nerves in the feet, because when you stimulate these nerves, they can actually regenerate. So by doing reflexology on neuropathy regularly, you can cut your neuropathy by 51% off the top.
So how do things like emotional blocks or stress show up physically in people's bodies?
Trigger points. It will manifest as a physical trigger point that when you go to touch it, it's going to be really, really ouch. It's going to be very tender. Just as we get mental blocks, we get physical blocks. Our body has this connection to memory. We have muscle memory, cellular memory, and then down at the very core, molecular memory. But the body remembers and it holds on to this, lack of a better term, it's an energy. And when you directly go to it, directly access it, push on it, you press it out. You just squeeze out the junk. And then they feel better because now all the blood flow and all the good stuff can come in. But it's the same physically as it is emotionally. But that's why massage is something you can do on your own. And that's why I teach meditation, is because then it's something you can do on your own.
Is that like self-healing then, when you, after you've been taught what to do?
Well, it gives you the option. Like, it's a tool. It's like the breathing techniques, the mantras, the malas. It's sort of like mowing the lawn and clearing out that space so that you can pull everything out of the garage, see what's important, throw away the garbage, and then you can repack everything with a little more space. It's all about breathing space.
Excellent. And someone who, if they're listening and they're struggling, either emotionally, physically, or spiritually, what's one step that they could take today to begin healing?
The best step today for your healing is to get a good affirmation. That is the most consistent thing in all the traditions, is to give you that daily mantra of, you are enough, I can do this, this too shall pass. It's the thing that I use the most every day, all the time, always. And it changes in the moment. But the oldest one that has always served me and that I hand off to everyone is that this too shall pass. The pain will pass. The enough time will pass and healing will happen. But you just have to give it time. That's the best two cents I have for people.
That's an awesome piece of advice. And finally, how can people connect with you or learn more about your work?
Well, I'm always local. I'm right here in Peoria, Arizona. And I do outcall to Peoria, Glendale, Avondale, Sun City, all the surrounding areas. I'm on Facebook, but you really have to, you've got to know me one-on-one for the most part, but I have a phone number people can connect to. 602-680-9248 goes to me directly. I don't work on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, but every other day we will make time for your healing.
Anything else that you want to drop in there?
Very basic physical therapy. Massage is the most general, like it's the most easily accessed part of physical therapy, because unless you're really injured and like your doctor writes you a script for physical therapy, you can't get to a physical therapist. But just about anyone can go see a good massage therapist. Thank you so much. You're incredible. I appreciate the opportunity. You're amazing.
This is what community sounds like.
Popcorn, peanuts.
You want to experience Pride Night at Chase Field like a VIP?
Gay PHX and Oliver Electric are giving away two diamond-level seats to the Diamondbacks Pride Night game on Thursday, June 27th. And yes, parking is included.
Popcorn, peanuts!
You'll enjoy 10% off concessions and 20% off gear at the team shop. You can even order food from your seat with a QR code. Enter now at GayPHX.com. Bonus entries for following us, Oliver Electric, and subscribing to the Gay PHX podcast. We'll draw the winner on Sunday, June 22nd, and announce the name in our June 24th episode. Don't miss this Pride Night hookup. Go enter now.
Pride lives here.
Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Huge thanks to our guests, Pup Copper, Christopher Hopper, and Amos from the Healing Covenant for sharing their stories, their hearts, and their wisdom with all of us. I'm Billy Foster, and before we go, I just want to say this. We need your help. If you believe in what we're doing, and if you've learned something, laughed a little, or just felt more connected, please help us spread the word. Tell a friend. Share the episode. Your voice means more than mine ever could because people trust you. When you say, hey, check this out, it matters. And don't forget, Copper Cactus Ranch still needs us. Head over to SaveCCR.com and help protect a queer space that's given so many of us a place to feel free. And a big thanks again to Oliver Electric for powering our Pride Night ticket giveaway. Those D-back tickets are waiting for you. Just head over to GayPHX.com to find out how to win. Until next time, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and remember, this is your community podcast, and your voice belongs here.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX podcast.
Be kind.
Be bold.
Be you.